let me ask the question then with your permission. So Jennifer, how many dates
was... Did we wait 6 dates?
Jennifer, how many dates was it for you?
Gosh, I hadn't met Jenna yet, and I'm so bummed. I wish I...
Tell me, yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear it. Was it the first time?
No. I would probably say...
Be truthful.
Gosh, I mean, we had been friends on the phone, though. We had talked for hours on the phone.
Is that constant? Hold on. Does that constitute a date?
Doesn't that count? I don't know. I feel like it counts.
Yes, it does. Yes.
Oh, sure. Okay. She's just backing you up because she's a woman.
We hadn't talked for months, so I'd probably say like by the second, third time hanging out. But I mean, we didn't have sex then. So we've been pretty good on that. And I think waiting up to the wedding was really good, was really worth it. I didn't think it would be, but we tried that thing. We're like, all right, we're going to wait to the wedding. And because we're not like holding out for a 3-year wedding, you know, we knew what we wanted. We found it. And that was totally worth it. I didn't think it would be because, you know, obviously that ship had sailed in most of my life in the past. But but it was really good to wait.
Wow. So are you saying, let me make sure what you're saying. Are you saying that you actually waited till you were married?
Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure.
Well, as I often say, there is a generational shift in play, and it's definitely impacting the dating community. It's impacting marriage. It's impacting relationships as a whole. Now, listen, I've been watching a lot of this online relationship stuff where people are going to a lot of these dating apps and various things like that, and they're finding people online. But they're also doing it through other means, not just the internet. Get a load of this. They're actually, surveys suggest that people are actually finding their mate, their spouse, their relationship, whoever it may be, of course, through friends, through the company of other friends, which is kind of cool, actually. I would not have guessed that. Well, according to a survey, it's almost about 2,400 people. Using Google consumer surveys, 18 to 34-year-olds met their current significant other through mutual friends than through any other means. That includes the dating apps, by the way. So that is an interesting stat. I would not have guessed it. So guess what, friends? There is hope for humanity yet. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. Welcome, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. We are in Season 2, and the topics have been crazy and wild and all over the place. Some I'm ready for, and some not quite so much. This one here today, looking for love. And it's not even Valentine's Day. How's that? And so let me bring you on a co-host here on the show today here. Jenna Smith is with us. She's a psychotherapist, a coach. We call her the human being expert. And I got to tell you, if you've heard her speak in the last many shows, you would probably agree with that statement. Jenna, you say some of the things that like make so much damn sense. It's like, what is she talking about again?
That's the point.
You have really been on target here, I got to tell you. You've been awesome. So also joining us, Susan Price. And Susan Price is a Gold Star mother, patriot, investigative researcher. If you've been reading her weekly columns on America Out Loud, you already know that because she is, like I said to her on that commercial spot we did, Susan, you're like a dog with a bone. You give you a story and you're off and running, huh?
Thank you, Malcolm.
Well, you
my pleasure.
You do some great stuff. And so she's a veteran advocate, an advocate for justice. And of course, Jennifer Breeden is here. She's an attorney specializing in international law, criminal law, U.S. foreign policy. And Jennifer, you've all been fantastic. I appreciate your contributions. And listen, we're going to dive into this looking for love. So let's start here with the entire group here. So Jenna, Susan, Jennifer, and Malcolm. So how many of you are looking for love at this very moment? Was that a dirty laugh or was that a what?
I'm open to it, Malcolm. It's finding and meeting the right person that fits my lifestyle.
Okay, so Susan, so stop there a moment. Now, we're all dying to know, What is the right person that fits your lifestyle? Because you're a very strong-willed, highly opinionated, powerful woman, which is why we have you on the show. So what are you looking for? What's the perfect situation look like?
Well, someone that would fit me, somebody dynamic and powerful and a humanitarian, just a giving, loving, compassionate person, and someone strong but gentle, and someone that will balance out, you know, me as a woman, and that I would benefit him. And so,
all right, stop there now. You are describing me at this very moment. Go ahead, continue.
I know that. But I find that when you're not looking, which I'm not, but I'm open, mm-hmm. and I would welcome the right person. I meet people through friends, like suggested, and networking and attending, when I'm working in my veterans projects and someone says, I want to introduce you to someone through chamber meetings and whatnot, that's when I have the best luck.
That survey's saying you're meeting through connections and friends and stuff. So,
but it's true.
All right. All right. I mean, that's all right. So, Jenna, let's.
For me, anyway.
Yeah. Well, Jenna, you hear Susan puts it out there. And, of course, I had my cheap one-liner, of course, already. But so tell me, Jenna. Yeah, that's it for me. But so what is it with us when we're, you know, she's describing that person? I just thought a lot of people were still meeting people online. I know a lot of folks in my life who've met their relationships online. Through other means, not so much, but according to this survey we're seeing here, people are still doing the human-to-human touch through friendships and people like that. I wouldn't have guessed that. It's kind of cool.
I guess I'm 35, so in my generation of sort of dating the 25 to 35 range, it was sort of like everyone's online, but to be honest, when I do hear the stories, they meet at varying friends. They meet at work. My other friend just met a great person at a music festival, and it's that the other great thing about meeting in person is that if you're at a music festival or if you're at an event or you're at like Comic-Con or whatever, your mutual interests are already going to weed out that first sort of three dates of, do we even match, you know? So that makes sense because you've already got three dates out of the way, so to speak, of getting to know the person socially. And you know that some of those things, they've checked off some of the boxes, and then it's just a matter of, are you compatible?
All right, now I'm dying to ask this question. Jennifer Breeden, you just got married into a new relationship. Where did you ever find the character you married?
Gosh, I feel like our story isn't even fair, though. But I can say this now. I feel better saying it. You know, I hear you, Jenna. I'm right there with you and Sue. That I'm, you know, I was 33. I was still single, never been married. In fact, I had two younger sisters, all of whom got married quite a few years before me. So it was always, oh, the oldest sister is still a maid of honor. Mm-hmm. And those kinds of things at the family gatherings. And I just knew what I was waiting for. It's not that I had a lack of boyfriends or of relationships. It was just that I weeded out the ones I knew I didn't want. So taking a little bit from what Jenna said, just with common interest, and what Susan especially was saying, is that for me, it was, you know, I knew who I was, and I love the women on the show because I think, you know, you guys can all relate to me in that, you know, we are very ambitious. We've set out, we've done a lot of things. We're very intelligent. We've worked hard to get there. We've worked hard to become experts in our field and to, you know, do good. And so in my life, I've noticed that, especially with getting a law degree and doing all this, you know, I've met a lot of younger men, and I met men in dating life that would put me down. They wanted to insult me. They wanted to keep me in a box, or they wanted to, you know, make themselves better because of their own issues with self-esteem and things like that. And I'm totally trouncing on Jenna's territory here, but
oh, go
I knew
for it.
I know. You can tell me if I'm wrong. I'd have to make it up in my head. I was like, why is he treating me? And then it was, you know, people would explain it. But you know, for me, it became a lot easier to stop dating when I realized that, you know, I'm going to find somebody in God's time, in the right timing, when I'm ready, when he's ready, that is not only going to respect me, but is going to be able to cheerlead me while I can cheerlead him, a true partner. And all I ever wanted was a best friend.
Exactly.
And I actually met, and that's what I've always wanted. And I actually met John through the radio because I had started doing this Middle East traveling and doing foreign policy analysis and legal analysis on Middle East. And he was a producer for this little radio show in the morning. And so he called me as the expert guest, never saw him. I just knew that anybody I talked to was probably in, you know, knowing my past was going to be, you know, 5'1", maybe 50 years old and things like that. And I knew he had been divorced. And so we were friends and, but apparently he had already fallen in love with me. Didn't say anything cause he didn't want to take me away from doing whatever I was doing in my work. And he was worried about a wedding in Wisconsin where he lives with a bunch of family members and townspeople who are going to be there who are kind of gossipy. And me being me traveling all the time, I actually said to John, listen, I know that, you know, I've never met you in real life, but I travel all the time. You've been a good friend. He was a good friend to me, you know, always had me on his shows, would talk about, you know, what I did for a living, seemed genuinely interested. I still figured he was, you know, in his 50s, maybe 60s. I don't know. And I said, look, you've been a good friend. I know you're worried about this wedding. Why don't me, this big city, DC, Atlanta, Miami girl, I'll come up there to your little Wisconsin town. I'll be your wedding guest and it'll be awesome. It'll throw everyone off guard. He totally didn't believe me. And the first day I showed up and he wasn't 60, he wasn't a short, he wasn't anything I expected. He actually made me laugh so hard I about peed my pants within the first 10 minutes, which was another thing I was looking for. And it was a lot of laughing, shared faith interest in somebody who looked at me and not only respected who I was, but like wanted to see me the way that I believe God sees me and see me grow and lets me do the same. But just that loyalty and that humility, it was just I knew right away. So that was John. So I know our story is a little different, but that's how I met him.
Yeah, well, beautiful. The whole thing that's different about your story is that you took a real big chance by going to a different city with a guy you never met before, and you were going to attend a wedding with him, like some public event. Mm-hmm. And you followed your heart, I guess, huh?
No, I didn't actually. I knew I didn't like him. I mean, that was a big thing. In fact, I talked to my mom because I travel all the time. So to me, it wasn't a big deal. And I reminded him that, like, I travel all the time. This isn't a big deal. You know, I haven't been to Wisconsin in like 20 years. Why not? Kind of thing. But I told him, and he'll say this, and he's pretty funny talking about this, that I told him for about every day for about 2 months before I came, I said, you are such a good, I would say terms like brother in Christ or such a good friend. And then quotes like, I don't date. You should just know right now, I don't date. I'm glad to be there as a friend in all caps. Just very obvious things that are kind of funny now to look back on it. So he was supposed to know that I was going to come up here with nothing romantic just to help out a friend.
Just as a friend. Yeah.
Yep.
And that's what it was. And then from there,
I had a nervous breakdown when I realized, oh, this is the one.
So here's what I'm wondering now with all of you. You're all very, I can see you all very polished women, very accomplished, very polished. Don't you find that a lot of men, at least that's what I'm seeing out there, they kind of are scared of powerful women or successful women, or they're sort of run the other way from them. I don't see that, like, that's a magnet for a lot of guys. They seem to be kind of skittish with that. Susan, do you find that, because you're obviously one that's in the market, do you find that for real? I mean, do guys, are they sort of like, because you're out there, you're very, very highly spoken and, you know.
Malcolm, it's quite the opposite, actually.
Really?
I have a little crew of fans, but you know what? There's nobody that personally fits me as of yet, mm-hmm. and I have my eye on a couple. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm telling you, it's quite the opposite. I'm highly embraced, and what they tell me is I love a strong woman. But, you know, I'm also a gentle woman, too. And mm-hmm. for someone to meet me in person, and I talk with my hands, I have a lot of energy. But when you meet me in person, it's different. So when they do meet me, and they have met me in person, they see the other side of me. And so it's me, you know. And like Jennifer said, I'm open-minded, but I'm not dating. And I'm open if it's the right person, but in God's time. Mm-hmm. You know, that person really has to fit me like a glove. I've been married. I've had my children. I live alone, but I'm not lonely. And I have a very full life. And, yes, I do want to meet that special someone. I'm 59 years young. I have a lot of life in me, and I really do want to share my life with the right person.
So you would get married again, Susan? You would get married again?
I would. You know what? I would if it's the right person and I fall in love. Because you know what? We can't live without love. I give so much love to my family and my friends. You know, I would like a little bit of that back. I really do. That just blesses your life.
I'd
like to say this to Susan, though, I know I didn't really get here because I'm hearing you talk. My heart's just full because, you know, I didn't talk much about John's past, but John is, he's 38 years young, but he has four kids, mm-hmm. 37, 38. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I'm terrible. I think he's 38. I just love him so much, but he's got four kids. When I met him, I knew that from a previous marriage, really a not healthy marriage at all. A woman who cheated multiple times and all he did was give love. In fact, he, wanted so badly to protect the kids that he held off on divorcing for about 5 years just to have a safe place for the kids living with his parents. And he really, you know, was content with the fact his full life thinking that I'm just going to love my kids. And I think he's still, you know, we've been together, almost a year now, and we're married now. And, you know, we're newlyweds, and I didn't even know that I wanted kids. I mean, I always thought that I didn't have a desire to have babies, but maybe I would adopt. So it kind of worked out, and his kids are amazing. I love them like my own. They are. But I didn't think I would want that. I thought, well, if this is the guy, I probably am not going to like him when I meet him, but also he has four kids, but I fell in love with those kids. You know, it all just becomes so incredibly perfect.
You do, because when you love someone, you love their children. And obviously at 59, all the men I meet have had children, or most of them, with the exception of a few.
Nice.
And because I have grandchildren now, and I would love for that person, if they like me, they have to fit into my family too. I'm not going to abandon my children and grandchildren, you know, just to be in somebody else's family.
I just wanted to say that, Jennifer, your story isn't so different as far as that working well, because we have these expectations. Like, I used to date a lot of alpha males because I thought, okay, I need to date an alpha male because that'll match my energy.
Right.
But, you know, what I'm listening to, and actually, Jennifer, we're very similar. Because really? My boyfriend was, his ex cheated on him. He went to the moon and back to try to protect his kids and all this stuff. So what that brought me to think of, like, how powerful women need big hearts. It's like, no matter how that manifests itself, like they could, like in my case, my boyfriend is a private investigator. And so now he's doing his own thing and he's finding his own path and sharing his passions with the world, which is really cool. But he has a big heart. And then he lets me go and do whatever. Like, I can just go and travel and do whatever. And he's not competing for energy. So the alpha males were actually imbalanced. And when I was also listening to Susan, it's like, do they need to be like you? Or do they need to compliment you? And can we trust life to figure that out for us? And I think that's another equation to people listening that are thinking, I want to listen. How do I look for love in this day and age? I would say, you know, you have to be you. That's what we've all been saying. And then you have to believe that you can actually receive something and then not be attached to what that should look like. Because in my case, it wasn't what I thought it would look like either.
Exactly.
Okay.
And you know what? Another important ingredient is that mysterious, mystical thing called chemistry. Mm-hmm. You have to have that chemistry with that person that you just want to be in their energy, you know, all the time.
What's funny is it doesn't happen right away. Because I didn't like Dan for a year at all. I was like, nope, not into you at all. And he, it's so hilarious. He should come on the show. He calls it the fungus method, where he's like, I'm just going to grow on you, actually.
That's what John said. Oh, my God. Are they related? I'm just going to grow on you.
So you're both with a couple of funguses, is what you're saying.
Yes. He's self-available. He didn't put any pressure on me. And it was authentic. So I was just going to say to the chemistry, sometimes the chemistry takes time to grow. Mm-hmm. And that's cool, too.
Well, what's amazing to me is you're saying, Jenna, that opposites still do attract. You're kind of right.
I mean,
you don't have to be totally symbiotic here. You're saying opposites still attract. People used to say that, but I don't really buy that. I don't believe it. That opposites.
I think what you look at in opposites. I mean, that's so. Yeah. I I've thought about that statement a lot, and I thought about it when I was single and then, you know, again on. But I think it's how you, what you consider opposites. So like John and I have the same humor. We laugh at the same things. We love the same shows. You know, we have the same faith. There are a lot of things that we really have in common, even just certain personality quirks, you know. But I mean, in terms of that huge heart and the fact that he is okay not being the alpha male, just loving, like that's what I absolutely needed. And it took me a long time to realize that, like Jenna was saying, I'm completely right. But I mean, there are things we have in common. So I think it's like maybe opposites in some ways in terms of like your ambition or your heart. But I mean, even seeing that grow in him, I love it. It's the perfect compliment. I love that word of compliment. Like that was exactly right. And that's exactly what it's been. We're really, I can see us growing each other.
Well, that's an interesting way to put it. So you're complimenting each other in the life. That's kind of cool, Jennifer. I mean, that.
Yeah, that's Jenna. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. I love it, you know, because that's what it is. It's finding somebody that you truly, because there have been so many times where I know I was in past relationships where, you know, I tried to help them. That's just what I do. And I'm a little bit more rough when I say things. But like, you know, you can be better by just doing this way. And but they don't want to help me. They want, you know, they don't like that, because if they see me succeed, then they feel like they have to succeed at something more. Or instead of celebrating a success that I've done, then the first thing they do is talk about a better success they've done, which always just drives, just for 1 second, just be happy and I'll be happy with you later. But you know, in this sense, I can't really explain it, but it's that complimenting thing where I love championing John. I love helping him. I love making him see. And I love that, like you said, he's starting something. I'm trying to get John to start his own media company because he's done all these little things, but realizing how amazing he is. And that makes me happy, but he does the same for me. I mean, my gosh, I'm terrible with emails, and he wants to help and get the system set up. So it's that complimenting where we are opposites in some things, but it works.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
You're making me sick right about now.
Welcome. You're welcome.
And what about you, Malcolm?
Yeah, Malcolm, tell us about you.
Let's pause right there, and we'll be right back in a moment. Here. Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Our co-hosts Jenna Smith, Susan Price, Jennifer Breeden are all here, and we are tearing apart relationships or building it up a little bit. And so we're having this conversation, and I'm learning. I'm listening to all of them. And, you know, you've got Susan, who's looking for Mr. Right and just the perfect person to walk into her life and sweep her off her feet. And Jennifer just found Mr. Right. I mean, she's like really just found him, and she's like hot. You hear her talk in the first segment, and she's either really in love or she's high, either one. You know that already, friends. I mean, come on. And then Jenna Smith, though, I have to ask you, Jenna. I remember in a previous production we had, you said you're never getting married. Is that still the case, or did I misread that?
Well, I have not had the inclination to get married, and until that changes, what I do know is that Jenna, 10 years from now, might be a completely different woman, and she might make up her own mind at that moment, because life can change and morph. But right now, I have no inclination.
Well, we have to evolve and grow as people, Jenna, clearly, right? So you don't know. You're right. That's when you say, what's Jenna like in 10 years? Jenna Smith in 10 years is going to be different than Jenna Smith today. We're growing, all of us, every day, every week, every month. I mean, through the years, we're different, right? 10 years from now, 10 years back, you were different, weren't you, ladies? Everybody was different, weren't they?
Kind of. Yes.
That's how I know for sure, because I had no idea who I was now.
Right.
So.
I mean, I know I've evolved a lot, and but that's the beautiful thing about, though, you know, listen, ladies, there is something, the only gift in all of, well, there's a lot of gifts in this life, I shouldn't say that, but one of the biggest gifts in this life is the fact that as we mature, and even though we're trying to make ourselves still stay young and look young and what have you, we have that word called experience. And, you know, you don't have experience when you're 20, when you're 25, 30. I mean, it takes years to get that experience. So the evolution of who we are, Jenna, is a perfect thing. Every kind of 10 years is a marker to say, okay, who am I right now? What do I want to be? I think a lot of people don't really embrace their authentic life, Jenna. They're not really embracing who they are, huh?
that's what I was going to say, is that if mm-hmm. it's an authentic yes,
right,
then I would lean to that direction. But to right. me, marriage can often create constraints and rules.
Amen.
And,
hallelujah.
You know, you kind of step into who you think you should be when you're married. And I'm just not interested in that.
Right.
So, and it doesn't make sense. I don't need to, okay. you know, like the, I don't want kids. So that, you know, that although those mm-hmm. containers that require family to come together, they just don't match up with my life. But
right,
if
right.
something shifted, that would be totally fine. But what I do, what you're saying about authenticity, is that the common denominator, what we're talking, is that all of us are being ourselves and mm-hmm. then looking mm-hmm. and attracting. I'm going to say this about women, is that there's a magnetic energy versus a pursuer energy that's actually far more attractive.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's a way of being. It isn't something you do or don't do. It's a way that you just are like, okay, my guy's coming. I just need to be me and I just need to do what I do and it'll show up and I can receive, which is very different than pursuer energy that is more masculine. That, and we had this before about men in a bar and being the alpha male archetype. It's different
right.
than just like, hey, I like that woman. I'm just going to email her again. And it could be really soft and it could be really gentle and the fungus method. So pursuing doesn't mean like intensely masculine pursuing and you're going to be my woman, I'm going to like carry over my shoulder with a horse and all that sort of stuff. Like it's just that the guy's like, oh, I really am into this woman, and so they're pursuing just by like text messaging or just by like, hey, do you want to go for coffee or can I do that for you? Like these kind types of things are also pursuing energy. But what I did want to say is that authenticity is key. If there was a manual
right.
a mate, it's like you be you, they be them, and then you communicate if you are a match.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Sharing your thoughts and your feelings and talking about life in general. And Malcolm, I just wanted to mention, yes, I'm a strong woman and I've raised two strong women as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a gentle woman as well.
Oh,
and
sure.
A long time ago when I was raising my children, I was a strong woman inside, but I didn't let my voice come out as much. And it started coming out when I faced adversity and went through a divorce and then met mean people, you know, people that want to take you down when you build their businesses or you rebuild their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a survival mechanism that takes over. You know, and I am literally, I'm that Susie homemaker. I keep a beautiful home. I can cook. I can do it all. And I love to do it all. But I'm at the point where I've done all that and I'm interested in meeting people and writing and being on shows like this and just sharing. You know, I'm a woman that knows who she is and knows what I want. And like you said, it's an attracting mechanism now. You know, I don't have to prove anything to anyone. I love mm-hmm. being authentic.
It's
I'm
a
good person.
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. I'm in a good place.
Amen.
So if I'm blessed, and I don't, for what it's worth, I don't like that alpha male. He could be strong on the inside, but
right.
too much testosterone. It's too much. It's overbearing. And I don't like the man that just sits there with no voice either. A strong but gentle compliment to my
a Goldilocks
personality.
Man. He's right in the
yeah,
middle.
But you know, I like a gentleman. I really do. I like a gentleman. Someone that you could put in a suit or put in a pair of jeans.
Susan, and you should start your own. Yeah. You should listen to me. You should host your own show. Be a host of it, and it should be called "Looking for Mr. Right." Are you out there?
Well, you know what, Malcolm. I think
will be
I'm
the first
proposing. No, I'm proposing that we start America Out Loud dating service.
Oh, my
How
golly.
About that?
Oh, wow. Wow.
And let's, yeah.
Well, you and Jenna can run that. How's that? Jenna's
I will.
A psychotherapist.
Come on, Jenna. Let's go. Let's
She'll
run.
She'll go with you. She's
we
ready.
We can do so, this.
She's
a
ready.
Good, like, well, that's anti-statistics because it's 40% you meet with friends. So,
I don't know. Listen,
I think it would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
We can make it interesting.
You can combine the out in a social setting as the out in a social setting via radio, combine the 22% with the 39%. You've got pretty good statistics for our show.
Hey, you know what? I'm pretty creative. We could even make it an astrological dating service where people send in their birthdays and then you put them with the best suited.
I bet that's out there. I was going to say an idea on if people are, I work with a lot of, you know, we say powerful women, and I think it's just a matter of fully expressed women. It's like, we're who we are, and we're saying who we are, and we're being who we are, and that's perceived as powerful. I think it's just women being themselves, to be honest, you know, whether you're a soft woman, like you're saying, Susan, it's just us expressing who we are and working through what we had to work through to do that in a mostly patriarchal society. So what I wanted to offer was some tips for people listening that are like, okay, I'm looking for Mr. Right. And if it's women or men, because again, as I said, with men, it's like that pursuer energy doesn't have to be so aggressive and,
You be you.
Like, how would you reach out? And you have to be authentic, and then they get to know you.
Jenna, now you hold on. I want to ask you something. Now you've got, because you're so good at it, you've got some real tips you want to share, right?
Yeah.
All right. Before you do that, hold on now. What I want to do for a moment here, if you don't mind, ladies, I'd like to play psychotherapist for a moment, okay? Let me experiment here now. And then before Jenna, because Jenna's brilliant at this, so Jenna will give the tips and really give you the best information, far better than me. But let me try something here for a moment. This has been on my mind for the last few minutes as I've been hearing you all talk, and here it is. I'd like to be the psychotherapist for just a couple of moments, and I'd like Jennifer Breeden to be the patient. Is that okay?
Oh, no. Okay. Sure.
Jennifer, will you play with me?
Of course.
All right. So here we go. Jenna, now I want you to rate this, okay?
All right.
And Susan will as well. But so here's the deal. Okay. So Jennifer, you just got married. New relationship. You've shared a beautiful story out there and how it all happened and how you met and so on and so forth. And you've got a, you know, I mean, this is like life is a journey. It's a road. And the road here is, you know, there are speed bumps on the road, and there are sometimes detours on the road. Now, you have a man that you've just married to who has children. So I look at these kinds of things, Jenna, and I'm speaking of Jenna as well here on the side, but my patient is Jennifer now, not to confuse anybody. But I think that, these speed bumps are problematic, but here's the deal. You got to know what you're getting into, because, like, the more complications you have in a relationship, the more challenging it can be. So the fact that he has children from another marriage, and he has an ex-wife who is complicated and stirring the pot and makes it that much more complicated. And all of that adds drama to the circumstances of a relationship. Mm-hmm. But here's the big problem I find with marriages today. So people go through this whole moment of wanting to get married. They spend, my golly, some people spend a year, two, three in preparation for a wedding. And you know that, having just gone through it, Jennifer, the preparation and the stress before you get married is over the top through the woods.
Don't do it. Go to Hawaii.
But exactly. Yes. I mean, you know, I said that to a friend of mine some years ago. She had this big freaking wedding with the whole baloney and everybody. I said, "What are you?" And she was like neurotic. I said, "What are you doing? Why do you do this? Take your money. You're not. Do you plan to make this money back with the gift? No. Well, then why are you doing? Well, because we want to have the big wedding." I said, "For what? Mm-mm. Take the money, get on a plane, and fly somewhere, and enjoy, and bring just a few people with you, because the rest of your damn relatives are a pain in the ass anyways, and they don't give a rat's ass."
True that.
You know? And so, but anyways, back to my, hold on, let me take that hat off. Now, I want to put my psychotherapist hat back on as a gentleman here. Let me just, I put the out loud hat on for a moment, so forgive me.
I was judging you, Malcolm. I'm like, that's
right,
not very good psychotherapy right now.
I know.
That's right.
All right, I've never done this for a living, so give me a break. So here, what I would say to Jennifer is this. So here's the whole secret. If you're going to have a beautiful relationship with this man who you have all this, you know, unique commonality, well, actually the right balance, which Jennifer, but you all have talked on really nicely. Jenna commented on it really well. Susan did. That it's not about opposites attracting, and it's not about two alpha people in a relationship. It's about, I like this, what you say, complimenting each other's life. This is not something I hear a lot of, ladies, truthfully, as a guy here. But I like what that sounds. That sounds really good to me, because I don't really want somebody totally opposite. And I don't want somebody exactly the same either, but I like this complimenting thing, you know what I mean? So people get married, they get what the state gives you, a certificate of marriage, I guess they call it, right? A marriage certificate, maybe, yeah? Mm-hmm. And so the state awards you this marriage certificate. You bring home, it goes in a desk drawer somewhere, or typically a dresser or something, or a closet or an attic. Eventually, it may end up in a basement when the basement gets flooded and the kids are screaming and things are going to hell in a handbag. And where's that marriage certificate again? But the problem is, I find relationships go wrong because of the marriage certificate. I believe people begin to think they own each other. And I believe she believes that she thinks she owns the guy to the degree that she does, and that he is supposed to follow her protocol and vice versa. And the guy then thinks, and then the romance slowly but surely drifts away. And it's almost impossible to keep it like, because people no longer look at it as like they're dating each other. They look at it as, well, I'm married. This is my husband. This is my wife, you know. And then that romance sort of drifts away. And now it's the reality of the problems of the day to day. But they forget to date. They forget to go out every week on a date. They forget to be have that spontaneity with them. They forget to laugh. They forget to put all that problems aside. They also forget to not let people intrude on their space, especially family. Families are like, they're like a cancerous cell. I mean, the more of that gossip and stuff you have in these families.
They can be.
Yeah, I've not seen anything different.
Without boundaries.
You definitely need boundaries, either that or a gun. But I've not seen anything different in my life. I think families, my definition of a family, when you look at the definition, is they are a pain in the ass. That would be my definition when you look under there, because they're complicated. You know, I remember one time a few weeks back, Susan, I was talking to you on the phone one time, and you were going out of your freaking mind because of family, I remember. And you love your family. But you were going off, Susan, telling me, I'm so tired of this. And I'm not going to say names, Susan. I'm not going to do that to you here on public radio. Yeah. So people hear me, but you were like, well, I'm so tired of that one and that one and that one.
They put expectations on you that you can't meet all the time. They want you in 10 different places doing 50 different things. And, you know, you have to have a boundary. You have to. Yeah, that was a temporary.
I know. I'm temporary insanity.
It happens.
I know.
It happens to all of us.
I know it does.
It happens to
Well, hold on. I got to get my psychotherapist hat back on and then off. And I want to throw it over to Jenna.
I'm getting the fevers out of you, Malcolm. I'm like, that's terrible psychotherapy. You're just talking and opinions and saying what you believe. That's not psychotherapy.
Oh, you're right. So, well, is it? But hold on. Hold on now. Hold on. That's interesting you say that. But tell me this here, Jenna, and thank you for saying that, I think. But at some point of the session, don't you, as the psychotherapist, then give your advice or your thoughts or no?
As a coach, I do. But as a psychotherapist,
you
the
don't.
Idea to hash out the person's beliefs in order for them to come to terms with their truth. So if you insert, a lot of people put authority in other people, especially in a position like mine, like my truth is their truth.
But right.
I believe everyone's truth is their truth.
Oh, I see. So,
you have your truth about family, obviously.
I would not make a good psychotherapist then, Jenna, because I would say, are you out of your mind? What do you mean you want to do what? That's what I would say, Jenna. And they would say,
it depends. I do give advice sometimes, right. But it's mostly about they know what they need, and they just need the permission to have the space to come up with their truth, and then their life.
I like what you say there. You're better at it. Like I said, listen, I'm at least half of that word. Hold on, ladies, hold on. I'm at least half of that word. You got to admit, please. You know, I'm at least a psycho. If not, I don't have to be the therapist part, but I do fit half of that. So, but my point is, Jenna, correct me if I'm at least not have a point here, a half a point maybe. But the point of relationships is people don't keep them real. They then begin this mode of ownership. And they're not keeping the spontaneity in the relationship. They no longer date. It's the problems every day of a relationship. And that gets old on one. That deteriorates real quickly. And a relationship becomes very volatile. If you're going to keep it fresh and you're going to keep it real, you've got to put that other partner first, number one. Not the sister or the sibling or the daughter or the person down the road. You've got to put each other first. I think that, to me, is the secret of the whole relationship thing working. Now, Jenna, take it from... Now, Jennifer, first of all, did I help you out at all or no, Jennifer?
You did. I was confused the whole time. I didn't know what question I had asked on the couch.
Like, what are you asking me?
Thanks, Miss Breeden.
I went up and got a coffee in the imaginary coffee bar. So, but yes, I get that. I think that's all really good point. That is something we constantly need to remember. I got that advice, actually.
Did I help
from,
you at all? Just a smidgen? A little bit, maybe? No?
Yeah. Oh, yes, Malcolm, you did help. Well, and I love the priorities too, because, you know, in us, and we, John and I are both, you know, we both attend church, so we're both, you know, followers of Jesus in that sense. And his one of his mentors, an elder there, said to him, he looked at him square in the eye and he said, when you marry this woman, you know, for both of you guys, you put God at the center, but then you come first, your marriage comes after God, your marriage comes first, and then the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Never put the kids above her. She is your wife. She comes first, and then the kids. And he's done that, and we're working through that. But I think part of that best friend thing is even walking through the fires and the mire and the hard times and all this other stuff. It's when you're with your best friend, there is something different. If you even think about like childhood best friends, it's like, it makes you closer. And that's what I want to keep striving for. But it is, I think it's going to be a constant battle, and people do just give up.
I would like Jenna Smith, the fantastic, wonderful coach and psychotherapist that she is, I would like her to take on and give best advice to this new married woman, Jennifer Breeden, who was not really looking and going to get married at all, but now she did. And let's see if she can do a better job than me.
I think she's good. I'll just be quick.
We're going to find out if she can do a better job.
All right.
I'll take another coffee break and come back on the couch. It'll be better.
They were all criticized. Right. That's it, Jennifer. You're getting all kinds of advice here today. It's a beautiful thing. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutLoud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming, from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back to America Out Loud, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. We have Malcolm, myself, Jenna Smith, Susan Price, and Jennifer Breeden, who will be my guinea pig here, apparently. Forced conditions, because I think she's fine. So if I was to give advice to you, Jennifer, I honestly, with how you're talking, think you're good. Like, just keep doing what you're doing, putting, you know, your spiritual beliefs first and your connection to God, then working on yourself, him working on himself, you work on the relationship together and work on building those little lives of the children together, and to not lose yourself. That's the biggest thing. I mean, it sounds like you're already doing it because you already found each other as whole people. You're just going to keep growing together. I mean, I don't see a lot of red flags at all. I just think you're good. So, I mean, as boring as that session is, I did want to give advice to new people looking for love, because I think that was the topic, and that's a whole other category of things if we want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds cool. Let's talk about how you look for love. But you say Jennifer's on the right road. Everything's going to be good.
It's just everything is going well. Like, if you're going to create a relationship, it's you have to be whole, they have to be whole. You work on the relationship. Yes. It's a growing entity. It's like a plant. And it's like yourself, you have to lose, like, you can't lose yourself either. Mm-hmm. Those are imperative, like, foundations. If those get lost, you have to work on those first, build yourself up. And then sometimes actually your partner will build yourself up. And that's a beautiful relationship.
Mm-hmm. So, Jennifer, how do you feel about that?
With what Jenna's saying, though, like, you know, that there doesn't need to seem to be a lot is because that John and I both in our own lives before we even met each other, we had our own Jenna Smiths in our lives. We saw so many counselors and therapists and church elders and deacons to try to become that whole person. Wow. And that's what's made us in this place where we know we've been through it. I mean, he was in a 13-year marriage and a still, you know, dealing with this in a messy divorce, still dealing with this ex type situation, but just as a whole person now is totally okay with himself. And so the same with me. And I guess that's what makes it different, which is why it's so important is I think what Jenna saying and what Susan said and what this, you know, has been about is that, you know, what we needed to get to, because we both have said that John and I were not ready for each other until the exact moment we met in person. We were not ready before then. We needed to go through our stuff.
Yeah. Right. So there you go.
Wow. Wow.
And Malcolm, I wanted to address another group of people that we didn't even mention yet, but it's the people that are like 60, 65 and older, believe it or not, the ones that are widowers and have been divorced for a long time that are coming together. A lot of these older people, they're looking for love. I've witnessed probably 10 in just the last couple of years. Companionship. They've already been through the wars of life and know who they are, what they want, and they love that person. And it's not about sex. They're in the mind frame that it's a companion. They want to be together to take care of each other in their elderly years. And that's actually growing.
You know, Susan, I remember seeing a specific survey data point that actually that generation, a lot of those people that you just mentioned are actually meeting online. There are more seniors meeting online than you would imagine.
Oh, there are. That's a story in itself.
And they got, of course, these dating groups that specialize in seniors meeting.
Yeah, senior
and that sort
dating.
Of thing. So,
it's pretty cool.
Let's have Jenna now give some. This is good. This is good conversation. Let's have Jenna now help everybody out since she's got a handle on this and give some tips out there. Jenna, go ahead.
Okay, so I would say that even 65 plus, it doesn't. You're two human beings, and the finding a mate and all that kind of stuff, and a partner in this case. My mom is still, you know, she's reluctantly looking to date, but that's a whole other topic. And lots of my friends are in their 60s, mid-60s, and they are vibrant people. Like, they still have so much life to live. So I wouldn't say the rules are that different. Just in your 20s, you know, you're still finding yourself. So take the time to find yourself would be that. Once you know yourself, the rules aren't that different. So the one rule my coach gave me was a 6-date no touching rule. And I give everyone this advice. I'm just going to cough. Because basically, anybody can feel good. Anybody can say the right things and be their veneer identity of who they think is attractive and, you know, do all the dating romantic things. Those are just things. But to be yourself and to be with this other person, if you aren't getting all sexual right away, you can really get to know the person. So if you have nothing to say on the third date and there's no chemistry whatsoever, just in being together and finding creative ways to do things together, then if you start, you know, getting sexual right away, you know, you have to wait 6 months, a year, and you realize I'm not really even compatible with you. So that's my first advice.
Well, let me just say, let me add something on that. So you're saying that this is not good for the one night stand kind of program, huh?
Well, I don't think so, because I really do think you need that many contacts to really get to know if this person and you really get along as two people.
So you're saying, did you say 6 dates? Did you say, Jenna?
Yeah, 6-date no touching rule, because really by the 3rd, 4th, and 5th, if you don't get along. And can you get along through boredom? Can you get along through, stuff, like, can you move through awkwardness together? Can you do that together? Then you're good to start building a relationship on that foundation.
Okay,
but if you just have it, romantic stuff is fun anyways. If I go to an amusement park and I go on a roller coaster, the roller coaster's fun. It's whatever. But if you really want to build something, you need to get to know the actual person and see how you work together before you get into the sexual side of things, because it can be really confusing and complicating, and you think you're attracted to them because sex feels good. So it isn't them, it's the sex that feels good. And so the actual connection of building intimacy with another person just takes a bit more time.
Well, let me, I agree. Advice is solid. Yeah. Who agrees? Who said they agree?
Susan, I totally agree.
All right, well, Susan, but let me ask you this. It sounds like very interesting advice, and I'm listening and I hear you. But here's what I want to ask you. Now, Jennifer, speak to me a moment. You and Susan, you. If you're in that situation and you've met somebody that's very charming and you like them a lot and things are going well and six dates and they haven't touched you at all, there's been no interest whatsoever in what Jenna says, don't touch that person at all, you might think they're gay or something or not even want to be interested in you, period, in the relationship. No, or is that wrong? Or would you wait six times and wait the seventh time before?
No, because as personally speaking, from my personal experience, quite the opposite. You know, they actually have more respect, you know, and that's a big thing with me is mm-hmm. respect mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I'm a lady, you know,
so
I'm
you're okay
spoken,
with that.
But I am a lady. Yeah,
you're
definitely.
Okay with Jennifer,
very
I'm
attractive.
I'm dying to know about Jennifer.
Yeah, I love that.
You love it.
I might, but I don't think, and you know, and I don't think Jenna was saying you just don't touch and then don't talk about it. I mean, right. there's communication in that. And so you communicate like, look, I am super attracted to you, but I want to get to know you in these six dates.
Yeah.
And so then it's like any worry I might have, I was like, all right, we're cool.
Six dates. You ought to write a piece on that. Well, I'd like to post that on America Out Loud, mm-hmm. Jenna Smith, about six dates.
All right.
Six dates to a relationship. I like it.
I've given it to so many people to do, seriously, really? Because sex can be a distraction, or you can use it. Oh, this is awkward now. Let's have sex. You know, it is building intimacy. It's actually more distracting because you wake up in the morning. You're like, hi, so want coffee?
Now,
what are you taking in your coffee?
Right,
I don't know because I don't know you.
Now, before Jenna continues.
I don't know you.
Before Jenna continues, can I ask the question that everybody's dying to ask?
Which one? Where?
Well, let me ask the question then with your permission. So Jennifer, how many dates?
Did we wait 6 dates?
Jennifer, how many dates was it for you?
Gosh, I hadn't met Jenna yet, and I'm so bummed. I wish I...
Tell me, let's hear it. Was it the first time?
No. I would probably say...
Be
gosh,
truthful.
I mean, we had been friends on the phone, though. We had talked for hours on the phone.
Is that constant? Hold on. Does that constitute a date?
Doesn't that count? I don't know. I feel like it counts.
Yes, it does. Yes.
Oh, sure. Okay. She's just backing you up because she's a woman.
We hadn't talked for months, so I'd probably say like by the second, third time hanging out. But I mean, we didn't have sex then, so we've been pretty good on that, and I think waiting up to the wedding was really good, was really worth it. I didn't think it would be, but we tried that thing where, like, all right, we're going to wait to the wedding, and because we're not, like, holding out for a three-year wedding, you know, we knew what we wanted, we found it, and that was totally worth it. I didn't think it would be, because, you know, obviously that ship had sailed in most of my life in the past, but it was really good to wait.
Wow. So are you saying, let me make sure what you're saying. Are you saying that you actually waited till you were married?
I'm saying we made the decision when we got engaged to wait until we were married. But we realized,
right.
I think, we called it a slip up. We realized that we wanted to wait. We wanted to do it right. But then again, it felt so comfortable and right. It didn't feel like a slip up. We just decided that was the choice we were going to make moving forward.
Well, that's interesting. So Jenna, I think what she's saying is she test drove the car first to make sure that the car was drivable and everything was good. And then before she'd buy the car, and then she bought the car and then decided she wasn't going to drive the car for a while until she
It was totally my fault. It was 100%.
It's always the woman's fault. What the hell are you telling me, Jennifer? It's always the woman's fault.
I have found the honest, the humble, the most, like, faithful and loyal man in the world with a heart of gold. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you've been so respectful of me. Yeah, I'm done. So,
well,
you know,
we knew it's not John's fault. I mean, come on. We knew it's not John's fault. It's definitely your fault. Go ahead, Jenna.
I think that's great. I think you just need to trust your body. But for most people, they're so insecure coming into a new relationship. They lose themselves. And then you need to build that. If you actually want a relationship, if you just want to have fun, go do whatever you want. If you want to find a relationship, I have seen this work so many times with people that have had relationships that have been, as I said in another show, based more on excitement than actual love and building a connection with another human being. Two different things.
Yeah, I want it all, Jenna. Yeah. I want it all.
And excitement comes. It comes. It actually grows because you're kind of like giddy and it's kind of fun and you can make it playful. I made my boyfriend color with me. We colored. We did a mind mapping exercise.
I love
and I
that.
Cut out the pencil crayons. I'm like, okay, we're going to color this date. And
oh my goodness,
he was on board.
Well, you know what? And I think if you wait a little bit and you build that anticipation and that passion, when you do make love, it's about making love to that person. It's not just a one-night stand. It's really...
Yeah. Well, yeah, the sex is better. You know, let's face it.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And so I want it all. That's what I want.
Exactly.
Wow. So, yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. Boy, this... I was going to say something, but I stopped myself from saying it. It's a good thing. Because it might not have been a nice thing. But, Jenna, we have... I said I better be a good boy here. Jenna, last moment or so left here. What's the last couple tips? You got any more?
Yeah, I do. So I believe that the universe or God speaks your language. That's what I say. And so if you're like, I'm going to go online. Like, don't listen to everyone else's advice for everything, but just pay attention to what you feel drawn to and go. If you're like, I'm going to randomly go to this concert tonight and people meet people. It's a client of mine met somebody in Germany. She's a musician, met him, spontaneous. Now they're married. Now they bought a house. Now they have a new baby. Like, trust life's little breadcrumbs, because there is no magical way, but life is trying to put you guys together. So if you're being you and they're being them, there's something attracting the two of you to be together to enhance each other. That's what I believe. So there's no like special way. I think if you have the impulse to go to the grocery store at a certain time, go, and you never know. Like, there's this magic about finding your partner that you also want to remember. It's not so strategic. So I think ultimately the advice is to trust yourself and then to pay attention and to do those little things like, oh, go to this dance class. I don't know. But if you feel the pull, if it keeps coming up, go, just go. Because it might even enhance just you, or you meet a friend and then
so
that
trust
friend's
your gut.
Brother.
Trust your gut.
Trust yourself and pay attention and be willing to step in and participate.
That's good advice, I think. It's always, you never know where this show is going, but I do promise you this, you'll learn something every time you listen. Jenna Smith, Susan Price, Jennifer Breeden. This is Malcolm Out Loud. To be continued, friends.